turn that next to the book, like this.
Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi Hare. Thank you. Sisimariti Bhakti Vedanta Swamiraj Prabhupada Jaya Vishwam Sivaraj Vishastra Sisimar Bhakti Siddhanta Sati Thakur Prabhupada Ki No Premilani Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very happy to be back in the association of Shishyana Vandavishwa to all the wonderful devotees and guests. Today we're going to speak about work. Work in terms of the individual, and work in terms of society, and work in terms of the topmost portion of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Recently, I think maybe 2 weeks ago or so, when I was in Toronto, is Sandipan Krishna here? Yes. He was there. I spoke at the Rothman School of Business and Management, the crest jewel of the University of Toronto, for preparing future corporate leaders. We spoke on the theme of spiritual economics, and it was expected that 30 persons would attend, 30 MBA students, perhaps a few professors. But then it turned out that 150 persons sent in their RSVPs. All sorts of MBAs, professors, government officials. So we can see that there is a deep interest in Krishna consciousness. We made no attempts to hide that we were Haris. They put us in the most prestigious auditorium where the corporate moguls speak from. And there I was on a platform at a podium with a share market ticker above my head, flashing the latest share prices as I spoke the timeless message of Srimad Bhagavatam. First, before speaking, I had two devotees who were students of that institution. One was a graduate, the other was doing their master's degree in microbiology. I had them lead kirtan for 5 minutes. They were a little nervous at first. Really, Maharaj? Kirtan? I don't want to be undercover? Because my attitude is, I'm not going to all this trouble, you know. Going to do these engagements and not speak about Krishna. We are who we are. And we can present ourselves very tactfully and respectfully, but nevertheless, we are the eternal servants of Krishna. And Krishna is all attractive. Why should we be ashamed of that? Srila Prabhupada did explain that it is a long and gradual art to present the all-attractiveness of Krishna in regards to any topic, any situation. But indeed, this is the goal we want to move toward. So they chanted, the two of them. One played Vridanga, the other sang. And the people listened, and then afterwards, they all applauded. So then I spoke. This theme of what to do about work is very important today. In the 60s and 70s, that was the time when anyone who was intelligent was not interested in working. As His Holiness Bhakti True Maharaj was discussing with me. Back then, during the 60s and 70s, the cream of the Western youth were in the streets. But it's not like that now. The most intelligent persons are interested in working. And you don't find them in the streets, you find them in the offices, studying hard at school. So what to do? Is Krishna consciousness relevant to them? Of course it is. Krishna directly addresses work in Bhagavad Gita. He directly addresses economics. Let us look at chapter 3, Karma Yoga, text number 9. Yajna Ta karma no yatra loko yal karma bandhana taratam karma konteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way, you will always remain free from bondage. Before we turn to a portion of Srila Prabhupada's purport, let us have some initial meditation and contemplation upon this theme of work. As we all know, people work to get money. They're hoping that with the money, they'll have more choices. And more choices will lead to more happiness. Now, I explained at the Rothman School of Business and Management that the latest sociological research shows that more choice does not lead to more happiness, but in fact leads to sadness bordering on clinical depression. The more choices you have, the more frustrated you become, the more anxiety you take on. So, let us first consider work in the spiritual world. We'll go to the topmost portion, Goloka Vrindavan. This material world, as you know, is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. What about work in Krishna's private neighborhood? We're singing about the situation when we chant Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabhadi. When you sing that song, you're getting a perfect picture of the spiritual world. What is that perfect picture about? Yes, it's about perfect love. Everyone is interested in that. But it's also about enjoying without work. Everything you always wanted, right? You can't get it here. If you want to try to material enjoy, you must work. Now, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only because he's the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer. That's very secondary or tertiary in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today, we want to stress that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he never works for his pleasure. I think you can relate to that, yes? Never have you heard an instance of Krishna having to work for his pleasure. So when you see Krishna playing his flute, you should know what that means. No work, all pleasure. That's what the flute playing means. That is God. Now, for those unfortunate parts and parcels of Krishna trapped in the material world, whenever you think of pleasure, there has to be some work involved, some struggle. Even if it's not work in terms of the normal workplace employment understanding, there's a struggle to enjoy. There's things you have to go through. And as a result of going through all those ordeals, you're left very exhausted and drained. And then you turn to your enjoyment as a relief. So I was visiting my brother in New York City while I was there for Rath Yatra. He's in his mid-40s, late 40s, I think. And he has just attained, in his eyes, the supreme destination. He's become the vice president of Toyota North America Legal Affairs. So, I saw him the day after he had just come back from a 7-day vacation in Jamaica. In some tropical paradise setting. The first thing I noticed when I saw him was how miserable he looked. I said, wait a minute now. Where is the joy? You have attained such a topmost pinnacle, and you've just come back from vacation. Why do you look so drained, so exhausted, frustrated? Of course, I know that sociological research reveals Generally, you come back from a vacation more tired than when you left. Because you put yourself in such a tizzy. I'm on vacation. I've got to enjoy. I'm on vacation. I've got to have the best. I'm on vacation. I've got to enjoy. And so by the time you get back, you're completely exhausted. You need a vacation to recover from the vacation. So I saw this firsthand before my eyes. So then, noting his unhappy state, and knowing his disposition, I did not speak so much to him about his goals and his vision. He's the younger brother, so I can push him around a bit, you know. 11 years younger than me. But then, his wife and his daughter, who was 12 years old, made the mistake of asking me about Krishna consciousness. What can I do? I didn't go there on any kind of mission. But if someone asks about Krishna, how could I refuse? So the daughter began asking very, very smart questions like, what is consciousness? And how come scientists don't understand what is consciousness? I said to the mother, my sister-in-law, your daughter is 12 years old and asking questions like this? This is very extraordinary. I searched the whole world for fine intellects like this. And so her mother, my sister-in-law, was very happy. Oh, yes, yes, let her go on asking questions. She told her daughter, you should have a complete 2-hour question and answer session with your uncle. And my brother's looking like, I can understand what he was thinking. I am the vice president of Toyota North America Legal Affairs. I am successful. What is my brother? He's nothing. And now my daughter and my wife are just, you know, treating him with such awe and reverence, waiting to hear from him about the mysteries of life. This is a Christian home. We go to church once every 3 months. We give regularly to charities. Isn't that enough? So he became very angry. And meanwhile, his wife went on questioning. She's a smart lady. They're both Harvard Law graduates, so she was just, you know, they've been married 18 years, so she was showing him that she has her life, too. And, of course, he had to accept it. So on and on, the mother and daughter went questioning. Finally, my brother just got up, you know, went into his room and slammed the door. That was the last I saw of him. Well, anyway, so the mother and daughter proceeded to question me, you know, ask me, you know, what about literature? Do you have any literature? Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Of course, we have so much literature. How much time for reading do you have? And so in this way, I can see that there is a deep thirst people have now for Krishna consciousness. Simply, one has to not be ashamed of Krishna consciousness. And when presented with tact, the same message that Lord Krishna has given us, people, they appreciate. She would ask me a question, and I would just give an answer straight out of the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Just, you know, change the words, same point. She would say, what a brilliant answer. Yeah, it is a brilliant answer. You know, I know where the answer comes from. So I can see that there's a tremendous hunger for genuine spiritual knowledge. People are tired of all the New Age cotton wool. They're tired of all the... the entire religion's belief also. Believe in this, but we give you no spiritual practices to experience what you believe. They're tired of all that. All right. So, we're speaking about work, because everyone, practically, everyone these days works. How are they going to spiritualize their working situation? Krishna is explaining that here. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Now, when we look at Srila Prabhupada's purport, what does he say? Since one has to work even for the simple maintenance of the body, the prescribed duties for a particular social position and quality are so made that that purpose can be fulfilled. Yajna means Lord Vishnu, or sacrificial performances. All sacrificial performances also are meant for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. The Vedas enjoin Yajna by Vishnu. In other words, the same purpose is served whether one performs prescribed yajnas or directly serves Lord Vishnu. Krishna consciousness is therefore performance of yajna as it is prescribed in this verse. The Varnashram institution also aims at satisfying Lord Vishnu. Varnashrama charavata purushena parapuman Vishnu arajyate. Now, this purport is describing the Varnashram system where there are particular categories of duties. Not that it's just you take up any old kind of occupational duties. No, there are particular categories of duties, as you know, according to the particular propensities that conditioned souls always have. But we don't find Varnashram today. We don't find those precise social duties. We don't find that precise system of work. Nevertheless, people are still working. So what to do? In the current situation of Age of Kali, we have to find a way that people can do their miscellaneous occupational tasks and still make spiritual advancement. That is easily done if we remember that we are not working primarily for material gain. This is the message of the sages of Naimisharanya. I explained that to these MBA students and professors at the Rothman School of Business and Management. I told them, Dharmasya Shapavargasya. Occupational duties are never meant simply for material gain. They are meant mainly for liberation. That is the way to transform the whole workplace. You can do that as an individual. It can be done as a society. Just think, you are working primarily for spiritual enhancement. You're using your job as a vehicle for liberation. Now, how can you do that? The normal mindset is, I am working for me. Otherwise, if I don't get anything, I'm not going to work. I don't think any of you here will work for free. No matter how noble your task is, you may be a doctor, even you may work for some charity, but still, you expect to get paid. So, how is it that you can transform your whole conception of working if you think about your work as an opportunity to give and not to get? Conditioned life means whatever you do, you're trying to enjoy the fruits. Either you or bodies in relation to you. Spiritual life means you are wanting to give. You are working to give. And if you get a lot by your working, you're thinking, I can give so much more. This is reverse psychology, reverse of what Kali Yuga has embedded in our brains. Remember, Kali Yuga has embedded in our brains, I am working for me. I'm going to have money, and I'm going to have choices. It's all going to be for me and my family and friends. And a little bit I'll give to charity to stop world poverty. Yeah, right. But mainly it's for me. Otherwise, I'm not going to go through all this austerity of working for someone else. But the sages of Naimisharanya say, look at your work in another way. The work is meant for liberation. So you go to work as a means for supporting your spiritual lifestyle, as a means for giving Krishna consciousness to others. But first you have to give Krishna consciousness to yourself. So you work in order to establish a spiritual situation for yourself. A situation for yourself where you can peacefully practice Krishna consciousness. And you're also working so that others can be Krishna conscious. In other words, you're working so that you can give. Give to yourself Krishna consciousness, give others Krishna consciousness. Then your whole work life becomes transformed. what's bringing you down? What's depressing you and frustrating you? Just like for my brother, is this whole concept of I'm working for me, to get things for me, to get things for my loved ones, my friends, my family members. That's why I'm working. The sages of Naimisharanya kicked this out. Forget it. Work to give. Work for liberation. If you can arrange your occupational duties so that the main purpose is to allow your spiritual development, you'll see a whole transformation in your consciousness. That is the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like in this verse today, Krishna says, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Yajna vai Vishnu. Your job is meant to be a yajna. Yajna means sacrifice. Then you're happy. You can't be happy in this get for me type of economy. If you look at your job in that way, you're always going to be miserable, no matter how high a position or salary you get. But if you look to your job primarily as a means for expanding Krishna consciousness, then you become enlivened. As much as you can do, you do. Now, that doesn't mean you neglect your own bodily maintenance. No one is suggesting that. As Prabhupada says right here, one has to work even for the simple maintenance of the body. But it should be the simple maintenance. If you're looking at your job as a means for spiritual liberation, then you're not going to entangle yourselves in so many unnecessary possessions, expenditures. You'll become immune to the retail therapy in which, you know, you go out shopping to make yourself feel good. Now, you understand my work and the fruits that come from my work. They are meant to enhance spiritual culture for me and for everyone. In this way, you'll be liberated even at the workplace. And gradually, more and more in your mind, will come the understanding that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Then you are outside the grasp of Maya. As long as you act in such a way that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, you have escaped the clutches of Maya. We have trouble with Maya when we forget that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and we once again want to put ourselves in the position of the getter. For me, I want to get for me. But if you always remember, I want to give to Krishna, I want to give Krishna to others, if you approach your work in that way, you'll be very happy. Your spiritual knowledge will increase. Indeed, you'll be practicing bhakti yoga. Now, just think in your minds. I know most of you here are working. Just think in your mind if you would view your job in that way. Come Monday morning, okay, dharmasya kapavargasya. I'm working primarily for spiritual liberation. And then make decisions with that mentality. That means you're out of the getting syndrome. I'm working to get for me. When am I going to get an increase in salary so I can get more things for me? Instead, you're thinking, I'm working to enhance spiritual development, enhance Krishna consciousness. With my salary, first of all, I'm going to get the things I need to be Krishna conscious. And then, once I've established my Krishna conscious lifestyle for myself, and there's a family for the family, then I want to be concerned with the wider family, all human beings, how they can have Krishna consciousness. How can I play my part in giving, not getting? Now, this may be hard at first because all the time your mind is being bombarded by the media. Get for you, get for you, get for you, get for you. So it may seem like it's going to be very difficult to snap out of that destructive cycle. But you can do it. If you remember Lord Krishna's instructions, yajnartha karmano yatra, work done as a sacrifice of Vishnu has to be performed. First do it because of injunction. You have to do it. Otherwise, as Krishna says, work causes bondage in this material world. We're trying to escape entanglement and bondage. We don't want to increase that situation. So at least we should understand this is the way the injunction goes. We have to do it like that. But gradually, you'll move beyond the injunction level to the level of you just like to give to Krishna. I'm sure you've had experiences when you liked to give a gift to someone, give in charity, especially devotional service, to give of yourself in some activity directly meant for pleasing Krishna. The more you do those activities, the more your dormant Krishna consciousness will become revived, and you'll get the taste for it. So first start out just doing it because this is what has to be done. Now, don't tell me that you have no experience of doing something simply because it has to be done. What will happen tomorrow morning when the alarm clock rings? You get up because you have to. How many of you, when the alarm rings, are going to say, forget it, I just don't feel like getting up today. It's not going to work. You get up because you have to. And then you report to your assigned post, either at the workplace or the university, and you have to accept dictation from others. How many of you just go to your job and announce to your superiors, well, I got my own ideas. I think I'll be doing things my way this week. That should be quite a relief to you, all of you superiors, because I'm not going to ask you what to do, and I don't care anyway. Now, how long will you last at your workplace? How many of you go to university with that kind of mentality? Just announce to your professors that I think I'll be designing my own curriculum. And I think I'll be grading myself more well. I once took a course like that at Yale, but I must confess. One professor in philosophy department was making an experiment that, you know, it was called the philosophy of the self. That was the name of the course. And so he decided that all the students could grade themselves. So when I heard that this was the way the course was going to be, that you could give yourself your own grade, I immediately told all my friends, I spread the word. Never mind what your major is, never mind what your concentration is, you got to take this course, the philosophy of the self, because you can give yourself your own grade. So all my friends, like 30 of us, piled into the classroom. The professor of philosophy was like, wow, philosophy is really getting popular these days. No one's ever been interested in my courses before. Now the whole room is full. And we would, we sit in front of them, and smile. Ooh, yes, smile. Very deep point. Profound. And then, of course, we were just waiting for the time when the course would be over, when he would say, all right, students, now grade yourself on what you think your understanding of the self is. And, of course, my friends and I all wrote, I deserve an honors, topmost grade, because I just wrote, because I know this and I know that and so on and so forth. I just wrote down some lyrics from some songs, And so I asked for the top grade. I got it. So did my friends. But that was an experiment. It was a short-lived experiment. Obviously, after a while, the university staff overseers, noticed that in this particular course, the professor had given, 30 honors. They wonder what's going on. But anyway, you'll never see that kind of situation normally. You have to submit to the injunctions of others. Therefore, why should you feel uncomfortable when Krishna gives you a bit of an injunction? Yajnartha karmano yatra. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Why do we get a little uneasy? Actually, when you sing Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Gopi Jana Bhava Gita Vadadadi, you're glorifying the work-free atmosphere of Vrindavan. Krishna, the cowherd men, the cowherd ladies, the cowherd boys, cowherd girls, they seem to be engaged in village agricultural work. But no, everything is just directly connected to Krishna's pleasure. Everyone and everything is 100% attracted to Krishna. Krishna never works. And his associates, they don't work either. They just do things that directly gives pleasure to Krishna 100%. So that is the ideal. That's the topmost portion of existence in the spiritual world. What can we do in the material world? Yes, we have these bodies. We have to maintain the bodies. There's no controversy about that. I remember once Srila Prabhupada was explaining about how there's no need for people to work so hard simply to maintain themselves. There's so much more important. There are so much more important things to be done with the human form of life. And so someone challenged, well, Swami, if everyone lived like you all and did like you all, what would happen to the world? What was Srila Prabhupada's response? Don't worry. There's always going to be some fools who will carry on. All right, so how can you work in the topmost consciousness? The sages at Naimisharanya were concerned with this point. They were determined to sit at Naimisharanya for thousands of years until they sufficiently dealt with these questions. Yinatma supersedati. How can the self truly be satisfied? And they gave the topmost economic advice. You don't have to turn to the economic philosophers like Adam Smith, Karl Marx. You just look at the first part of the Bhagavatam. There it is. Dharma Sihapa Bhagavatam. Occupational duties are not meant for material gain. They are meant for liberation. Now just think. Work as a vehicle for spiritual liberation? This is revolutionary. Immediately you're thinking, well, what about me? What am I going to get? I go to work for spiritual liberation? It sounds quite shocking, but when you think about it, it becomes very enlivening. So, you make your work decisions with that kind of mentality. I don't want to work more than necessary, meaning I don't want to work in such a way that my spiritual life becomes threatened. I'll do that work that doesn't impede my performance of Krishna consciousness. And whatever fruits that I get from work performed in that way, I use to increase spiritual development for myself, family, friends, and for human society in general. Just think how happy you'll be then. Once you get out of this getting mentality, this acquisitive mentality, which is very difficult, as the books say, the fruitive mentality, I'm working for me. That means you're bound. What does Prahlad Maharaj say in the seventh canto of Bhagavata? That the distress of material life does not simply begin with the acting stage when you act for your own pleasure. He says, no. The distress begins in the planning stage. As soon as you start making plans to get for you and yours, that's when the distress begins. This is how subtle material conditioning is. So we can be the agents of the most important change in human society. Those of you who are working, you can demonstrate bhakti yoga in your occupations. Just relegate material gain to the minor category in terms of reasons why you work. And make the main category spiritual enhancement. In this way, you can actually develop in Krishna consciousness while working. Because you're thinking, this is being done for Krishna. This is being done to increase my consciousness of Krishna. To increase others' consciousness of Krishna. I'm sure so many of you can understand how enlivened your consciousness will be. We don't expect that you're all going to, stop your jobs, drop your school. No, we expect that most of you will continue in that way. There's going to be some of you perhaps who will become specialists. I explained at the Rothman School of Business and Management that they have so many graduates with MBAs, but very few become professors. Still, professors are needed. Similarly, out of this whole audience, very few of you are going to become full-time staff members, men and women who will have as their 100% occupation, staffing the Krishna conscious temples and centers. Very few will do that. Just like very few MBAs become professors. Nevertheless, everyone else can do extraordinary good for themselves, their families, and the whole world. If you take directly as it is the advice from the sages of Naimisharanya, you take directly as it is Krishna's instruction, Yarni Arthat Karmano Natra. Now, when I was speaking these things in Toronto, I gave them a half hour's worth of sociological research, which backed up all the points that the Bhagavatam makes. Afterwards, so many persons came up to me and said, can we have your references? That was great. But, of course, it's not my job to give out material references. My main purpose is to preach Bhagavatam and to demonstrate that what we already know here, that the Bhagavatam has it all figured out already. So, of course, when they asked for my references, I said, I just don't have time now. But I was very happy to hear that out of such a prestigious audience of 150 MBAs, professors, government officials, five persons on their own went to the book table on their own to purchase Bhagavad Gita as it is. Yeah. I said, well, five persons out of such a crowd, that's an enormous victory. In other words, they felt inspired to turn to hear from Lord Krishna. So I was very happy about that. There's so much work to be done now for Krishna's pleasure. Not that there's so much work to be done so we can get, we can increase. You will not be happy that way. I won't go through all the research data that bears out this conclusion. You already have the perfect conclusion in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So everyone here can make such a difference if you take Lord Krishna's instructions as they are. You take these sages of Naimisharanya for what they're saying. They were considering, how can people work in such a way that they can attain perfection? They're speaking about economics, but their economics is different. They're saying, don't work primarily for material gain. Material gain is just, it's just something supportive. It's not the main reason why you're working. Yes, in other words, we know you have to maintain your body. We're not talking about that. Everyone knows that. But we're looking at the main purpose. The main purpose for your occupation is spiritual development. Dharma Sahyapa Vargas. Now this is the glory of Bhagavad Dharma. And the whole world is waiting to hear our sounding the trumpet that what Lord Krishna says is of the most practical consequence. And remember, finally, Lord Krishna never works. When you look at Krishna playing his flute, you should say, Jai Sri Krishna, you never work for your pleasure. And automatically you'll be able to put yourself in the right place. All right, we'll stop here and ask. Are there any questions? I can go on and on, but we do have a schedule here. Yes?
Krishna also explained to Arjuna, I also work. If I don't work, then the world will put into ruination.
When Krishna says he works, he means he does things. It's not that he's inactive. Otherwise, why does he say, Namam karmani limpante, name karma paisprya? I don't need anything, I don't want anything, I have nothing I'm aspiring for. Yet he does things out of his own sweet pleasure. So if Krishna's birth is not like our birth, and Krishna's work is not like our work. Therefore, he says, janma karma chame divyam, evam yo viti tattvata. If you can understand perfectly, tattvata, the truth about my so-called janma, my so-called birth, and my so-called karma, then upon giving up the present body, you won't take another material body. So, just like you can say, well, then we celebrate Janmashtami, Krishna taking birth, but then you say he's aja unborn. but you have to understand the mystery of Krishna's janma, the mystery of Krishna's karma. His work is not like our work. Therefore, you can look at the situation another way and just say, Krishna never works for his pleasure. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sahasri Yuga Pahayantam, Ahayat Brahmano Vidu. Once every day of Brahma he comes. But actually he doesn't have to adhere to that schedule. He's not like a railroad train, you know. He has to show up at Houston Station at a certain time. He's giving that guideline, but he's independent. So you have to understand Krishna in that way. He doesn't have to do anything. Actually, he doesn't need to come for the pleasure of killing the demons. He actually just comes for the pleasure of showing his glorious pastimes for his devotees. He doesn't have to do anything. Therefore, when you see Krishna playing the flute, remember that. All play, no work. But we, in our envious core of our hearts, we don't like that. Krishna, I can't do that. Why should you? I'm spending my hard-earned wealth on me. But not only me, my friends and my family too. And I give a little bit, a little bit to charity. Leave it at that. And then I'll be happy. Yes.
Why is it so difficult to give this desire that I am the enjoyer, even though I know well the philosophy of some kind of very rooted desire?
Yes, very good question. How do we get over this desire that we are the getters, the enjoyers? I suggest first you approach this very volatile subject of I think I'm the enjoyer in a way that's more accessible for you. That I think I'm the getter. Start with that. And take little steps at a time. Deal with this delusion, I am the getter, I want to get for me. Because thinking I'm the enjoyer can go, that delusion goes very subtle. But if you first start dealing with this acquisitive understanding of why you're working, then you'll be able to make firm progress towards uprooting the whole problem of thinking that we are the enjoyer. And it's not about just thinking, it's about acting. That's why Krishna, in order to help you, is saying, yogyartha dharmado nyatra. You're working, do it as a sacrifice for Vishnu. Don't just get mental about it. Work in that way. Work as a vehicle for spiritual liberation. And then the mind will become cleansed. Okay? Yes. Our master of ceremonies here is properly watching the clock.
There will be questions and answers
after. There will be questions and answers afterwards. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for giving such a wonderful class. So I want to say about Mr. Maharaj, please. Sorry, maybe I didn't get to ask your question. But Maharaj, you'll be